Hello, and welcome to the European Football Podcast, Tea and Busquets.
Il tocco da Martina Ingola per il capitano, solo il tiro!
This is URN Sport.
It is URN Sport, and you're listening to Tea and Busquets. We've done very well. It's the second podcast out in under a week, actually. The last one, of course, was on Friday for the Euro 2016 draw. We were discussing the draws, the groups, everything else. And we've returned now on Monday because, well, it's the Champions League draw and also the Europa League draw as well. David Saunders is the only sports member mad enough to still be sticking around in Nottingham after term closes. How's it going, David?
I think mad is the operative word there, to be perfectly honest with you.
Quite. Well, what we'll be doing is we'll be looking through the Champions League draw in a lot of detail, and then we will focus on some of the more tasty and more right to our knowledge, shall we say, of the Europa League, because there are just some that we have no chance on. So let's play some music, shall we? Yes, that is the Champions League theme. Wonderful piece of music, isn't it, David?
It's certainly more memorable than the Europa League theme.
I actually don't even have that on the system, so we'll have to play something else in its entirety. David's an Arsenal fan. I'm a West Ham fan. We've both have had our taste in European competition. We'll probably end up playing the same amount of games in Europe this season as well. Having said that, we played six. You've already played six, haven't you? So you'll beat us probably by two.
Yeah, just about.
What about the best place to start then? Arsenal versus Barcelona. What are your takes on it as an Arsenal fan and then as a pundit as well?
As an Arsenal fan, you know, I relish the chance to play against an actual competitive team as opposed to what's been going on in the Premier League this year. As much as obviously you want to go far in the competition, I'm a firm believer of if you're going to go out to the best there is. It's why when Arsenal do go out to Bayern Munich and to Barcelona and to AC Milan in years gone by, I've never been horrifically disappointed, and I fully expect something similar to happen. It to be two fairly close games. I don't think Barcelona will attempt to win, will attempt to score six like they did against Roma, because they don't need to. It's at an awkward time for both teams. The home leg for Arsenal is, I believe, just before they play Manchester United away, or it's within the week of that fixture, and I don't think Barcelona have a comparably difficult fixture, but it's not an A bar at home, and that's not to knock some teams in Spain, but that is to say that Barcelona haven't necessarily been playing too well recently, threw away a 2-goal lead at the weekend, so I don't think it's anything other than an exciting matchup, and you can't not look forward to it, really, more than be fearful.
A lot can happen in 2 months, can't it? Obviously, Messi's been out for a long time with injury, just working his way back to form. Arsenal have their fair share of injuries as well, but you'll hopefully have a relatively good squad by the time this game rolls round. Of course, Sanchez will definitely be back. He's back before Christmas. Coquelin, you'd hope for as well. David, I'm struggling to remember who else has been injured. Who else is injured?
It's essentially you've got your midfielders. Cazorla will be out for the fixture almost certainly. It looked like his season is over. Coquelin, you mentioned. Sanchez, you mentioned. Welbeck, Wilshere. I'm just trying to think. It's a lot of... The bench is quite weak. Well, I say quite weak. There's a lot of defenders on the Arsenal bench, so that there's about five or six players on that right wing that are out or just coming back in. So
having more defenders on the bench might actually help you, though, against Messi, Suarez and Neymar.
That's just more defenders for them to score against.
Yes, but yeah, an interesting matchup. from my personal opinion, I can't see Arsenal getting through. I understand, or I respect your the way you've sort of accepted it's best to go out to the best teams. But I mean, honestly, wouldn't you have picked to draw somebody else like Ghent or sorry, not Ghent, they weren't available.
Yeah, no, Wolfsburg were the best team available, or Zenit were the best teams available to Arsenal in that draw. And that's an alternative. If you're going to go quite far, then you want, but I don't think quarters or a walkover of a semi-final is fun for your team, because it's extra midweek competition at the time when you need to be making a push for the league. You can't afford any additional games, extra injuries. You know, even the FA Cup is given its own weekend more often than not.
Would you say that that's what Arsenal will be looking at this season then instead?
I don't think Arsenal were ever really looking at the Champions League, and their performances on match days 1 and 2 definitely proved that they weren't really taking it as seriously as they should have. They obviously want to go through, but again, as soon as we were drawn in the group with Bayern Munich and knew we were going to come second, and again, after match days 1 and 2, we didn't even know we were going to come second. At that point, you have to hold your hands up and admit, okay, likelihood is we're going to get a tough draw in the round of 16 and we're going to go out. So I don't think, from their perspective, Arsenal can take or could have taken the Champions League awfully seriously this year. They never really go into it thinking they can win it, or they haven't done in the last 10 years. So just to get... just to have two glamour ties, really, there's a possibility Arsenal can do it. You know, I think they actually have more of a chance than some teams in some fixtures. You know, I'm looking at PSV against Atletico and thinking PSV are out far more easily than you can say Arsenal are out. But yeah, I wouldn't give Arsenal a high... Well, wouldn't give them any real chance whatsoever. But that's not to say that... Barcelona do have off days, and we know they have off days. And we also know that when Arsenal play to the best of their ability... This is now the pundit in me talking. When Arsenal play to the best of their ability, they can beat anyone. They have beaten teams like Barcelona before, like Real Madrid.
Barcelona don't often have off days for a two-leg thing, though, do they?
No, but it doesn't have to be an off day for a two-leg thing. It has to be one, and then that makes the second game or the result in the first game. Essentially, it is the long game. As you say, it's only half-time in the tie when the first full-time whistle blows. That having been said, Barcelona haven't yet won at the Emirates. And I think because the first leg is at the Emirates, Barcelona might not focus too much on that leg.
That's actually what I was going to go on to next. How important are the two stadiums, the home fixtures in this tie? Because obviously, as you said before, Barcelona have never won at the Emirates.
Never won at the Emirates is a slightly... They haven't won at the Emirates. They've drawn one and lost one.
Yeah, so they haven't won.
Yeah, but that is in two fixtures. They took the lead in both, and on both occasions were pegged back. One was a bit more fortuitous than the other.
But still, they haven't won at the Emirates. And then Camp Nou as well. Very, very difficult place to go. The crowd are fantastic. It really is sort of the lion's lair where sort of Messi, Neymar and Suarez all prowl up and down the final third. So it's going to be difficult for them. And surely the whole game plan would be not to concede an away goal when it comes down to it.
I don't think you can ever go into a game against Barcelona expecting to keep a clean sheet. So I think in that first leg, you have to be thinking, can we go into the second leg with a decent enough advantage that if the worst comes to the worst and we don't get an away goal for ourselves, Barcelona don't just have to score one and, well, I say park the bus. Barcelona don't do park the bus, but they don't have to score one and then not worry about scoring another.
Let's move on then to one of the less glamorous ties, because we'll get through all of them, so we'll get one of them out of the way now. Ghent versus Wolfsburg. Now, obviously, Wolfsburg had a bit of a job over summer because Kevin De Bruyne, of course, left. They brought in Dante, the Bayern Munich centre-back. They brought in Draxler as the replacement for Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, doing okay in the league. They haven't really pushed on from last season, though. Impressive to get out of the group stages, though. So, you know, relatively
impressed by that. And to top the group as well, I think, was what's done them a massive favour, because if they were in the position of a team like Arsenal or of any of the respective teams, you know, look at... OK, so in their group, it was PSV. that came second in the group.
Yeah.
So just to swap it around, assuming, you know, everything else stays the same, Wolfsburg could have been playing Atletico Madrid, and instead they've got Ghent.
Do you reckon they'll beat Ghent?
The question's not if, but by how many.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be an interesting club to take into the quarterfinals.
Mm.
Certainly would be a good draw for any of the teams that get through. One of which could be my Italian side, Roma, who match up against Real Madrid.
Yeah, it could be in as much as Arsenal could be as well.
Yes, I think that pretty much sums it up. Despite Rafa Benitez's flaws, they pale in comparison to Rudy Garcia's at Roma. He's had a huge amount of problems for the past two seasons. He doesn't look like he can galvanise the team anymore. Many fans are calling for his head. I'm really unsure where I stand on that at the moment. But no, you can't imagine that they were absolutely dismantled by Barcelona. I think the quality would just prove it to them.
It will only be the quality that proves it, because if Roma, they've got 2 months to pull themselves together. And I can see them causing Madrid problems in both legs. The thing is with Roma, unlike Arsenal, in that particular fixture, Real Madrid's weaknesses are very, very clear. And Roma have a manager who is willing to change their tactics. So I think that they do stand a chance. I don't think they'll win the tie. I don't think they'll get through. But I think they stand more of a chance than perhaps we give them credit for.
Do you think they have a different mentality to them than perhaps Arsenal do going into this game, because of the fact that there's really no expectation here? There might be a degree for Arsenal fans. Roma, I don't think there's any expectation on the squad to beat Real Madrid.
I don't think any single team comes into any one of these fixtures with the expectation to win. You know, we said about Wolfsburg and Ghent before. Wolfsburg will expect, their fans will expect them to win. The players will go out there and think, this team have made it to the Champions League, the knockout round. They can't be that bad. They really cannot be that bad. So I think while the Roma fans might expect a home victory, I don't think that's a big ask for many teams in this. I think they can all expect to do better at home than away, for obvious reasons. But I also think that Roma might expect to be able to beat Madrid on their day. And again, if they can do, as I suggested with Arsenal with the tactics, if they can play it well enough that they don't go into that second leg knowing that Madrid just need a 1-0 win, then I don't think Roma will be in as nearly as bad a position as we're giving them credit for.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's move on now to a tie which has taken place for countless Champions Leagues. It seems like it's always a fixture. PSG versus Chelsea. Of course, they met at the same stage last year where PSG knocked them out on away goals. I believe it was away goals, wasn't it?
Away goals after extra time,
that's,
I think.
That's right, yes. So what do you think about this? Mourinho managed to top the group against his old club, Porto. Who actually, I've just realised, didn't even qualify. What happened there?
Porto, I think, missed out. Who did? They missed out with Dinamo Kiev in their group.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah. But the thing is, with Chelsea, they've been drawn a bit of a dud draw, as is, you know, PSG. They're not a poor team. But we were talking about it for the Euros, that sometimes the team that comes in second might be the best in the group. And sometimes, because of the way UEFA have decided now that the top pot is only going to consist of teams that have won their league, you get such ridiculous statistics as, or I say statistics, you get ridiculous seedings as Real Madrid being in pot two and Atletico Madrid being in pot two. Real Madrid have the highest coefficient of any team. But
I like that, though. I really like that.
No, because it means the groups are different. It means that PSV get a more beneficial draw than Real Madrid,
because they were champions of one of the best tournaments in Europe,
the eighth best league in Europe. I think the second best team.
But the
in
only
Spain.
Reason that they were included is because Barcelona won the treble last season. So perhaps this is a skewed tournament
because
anyway.
Barcelona won the league and the Champions League.
Yes, exactly.
League.
Yeah, the treble. Obviously, yeah.
If it had been Real Madrid, then we would have seen
Real Madrid top instead of Barcelona. Yes,
instead of PSV
would have been.
But
dropped.
I still don't think that's the right idea, because you've got two or three teams that deserve to be in that top pot. The fact that two of them play in the same league and only one of them can win the Champions League, and it's not going to be...
But it's in the name, isn't it? The Champions League.
It so surely used to the be championship... called the European Cup, and it got a rebrand.
It did, yeah. And a restructuring, clearly.
And, well, yeah, it's had restructuring since it's been called the Champions League. They used to be just 15 years ago.
Well, of course, yeah, this is
two
the first
group
season,
stages.
Isn't it? Yeah, so...
But I don't think it's a sensible idea, because you can end up with these discrepancies, as PSG being the second best team in their group, but one of the most amazing sides in Europe being the second side and second team in their group, not because they haven't played well enough. You know, when Arsenal came second to teams like Borussia Dortmund, that was because Arsenal didn't play well enough.
Surely they wouldn't have even been in top seed anyway if it was the other way around. You'd have, just to name a few, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich,
PSG
Chelsea.
Were normally in that top pot.
No, they were second last season.
I think they'd have replaced Arsenal this year, no?
I honestly don't know the
statistics. Arsenal was very close to slipping out that top pot anyway.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, we're getting off track. So, Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea. Can Chelsea do it?
No.
Not at all?
I don't think if they can do it, unless their form takes a massive turnaround in the season, PSG are just going to turn up and laugh.
This is the sort of time, by the way, on the URN Sport Saturday Sports Show, I said Mourinho has coached his team in a way which will mean they'll hit form in the second half of the season, and he didn't realise how badly it would backfire in the first half. So maybe I'll be proven correct.
But even if you're proven correct, all it takes is that first leg for Chelsea to get a negative result. And the fans will be on their back, and the pundits will be on their back, and the players will feel down, and it will be a whole kind of, oh no, it's happening again. I can't... The thing is with Chelsea, you can never write them out of a tie, as we saw when they won the entire competition a couple of years ago, when they should not have progressed beyond about the quarterfinals. And every single tie was, oh, they can't keep on getting this much luck. Oh, they can't keep on getting this much luck. You know, was it Robin missed a penalty in the final?
Messi hit the bar. Messi hit the bar in that
Messi,
match as well.
Messi
yeah.
hit the bar with a penalty. Like, they had two penalties missed against them in two games.
A huge amount of injuries at the back as well, I remember correctly.
And John Terry got sent off.
Exactly. So,
I can't see Chelsea doing it. But again, it's the other slight disadvantage of the draw being made so far away from the actual game, is that so much can change between now. Chelsea could win every single game starting on the night of recording.
And perhaps more importantly as well, we have the January transfer window to consider.
That's something I didn't even consider, because I don't know who Chelsea would buy. Who would be sold and who would want to go to Chelsea at this moment in time?
I think that the appeal of Chelsea hasn't fallen that badly.
I think it's waned because of the manager. I don't think you want to go there when you've got the club in the straits that it's in with the manager, not the league position. The league position doesn't change much when you're being offered that much money.
But you know you'll bounce back, surely,
as Chelsea.
But
he's everywhere Mourinho has gone, he has been disliked. And that leaves...
He was loved at Inter. Absolutely adored. Have you not seen the video of them breaking down crying when he said he was leaving?
But are they
going to?
Are Inter going to? Who are Chelsea going to want to buy from that league?
I know, but it's not that case. These players who won the treble have gone away. They've spoken to their national team. They've played at other clubs. Word of mouth got around. There is an opportunity there, and I think that people will remember how good Mourinho is.
But I don't think
he won the trophy last season.
I don't think that if you are a player looking to get into your national team for Euro 2016, you're going to take the risk of going to Chelsea. The risk being that they don't bounce back, or the risk being that they bounce back mediocre and they come, you know, 10th or something. If that happens and you've moved there in January, you've just jeopardised your place at Euro 2016 if you're a European player or you know, another tournament elsewhere.
Yeah, Copa America again this summer.
Two
as well.
In 2 years?
Yeah, it's like the 50th anniversary,
oh,
I think.
Oh, for goodness sake. Give Sanchez a rest.
Yeah, I know. So you say Paris Saint-Germain over Chelsea there. We've spoken about Arsenal and Barcelona. Let's move on to one of the more interesting ties, and certainly one I was happy to see. Juventus versus Bayern Munich. Of course, that means that Kingsley Coman, who, although on loan, the rules don't apply, can play against Juventus in the Champions League, and Arturo Vidal, both of whom, Coman and Vidal, were sold to Bayern Munich over the summer. Or actually, Coman's on loan with option to buy, but I think they'll snap that up. He's been absolutely superb this season, or at least has come on leaps and bounds since his Juventus days. Juventus were in a bit of dire straits early in the season, but have now won, I think, four in a row at the time of recording, which is very impressive. Starting to climb back up the leagues, and of course beat Man City twice, and just other results failed them in the group stages.
Well, their own results failed them.
Yes, of course, yeah. Other results, as in not including City, lost to Sevilla on the last day, but should have won that. Morata had a number of good chances. And that sort of cost them with Bayern Munich. And do you think it's cost them any chance of progressing?
I actually think this is the hardest tie to call of the round, because Bayern Munich will have wanted Juventus as little as Juventus wanted Bayern Munich. I'm actually not sure really how you can look at this as anything other than two teams who you would equally fear coming out of that top pot, who you would equally fear being in your group, coming against each other simply because one of them's come second in the group. At the similar scenario, you know, Roma, Real Madrid, or PSG, Chelsea. So I think, again, and it's the same we said with Roma and with Arsenal, that if Juventus can do well enough in that first leg, which will be at home, if they can do well enough that they can take the game to Bayern Munich at the Allianz, or sorry, as it's called in Europe, the Munich Arena, because Allianz isn't a sponsor. I give up. It's the same reason that Arsenal play at the Arsenal Stadium.
I see.
Rather than the Emirates Stadium on European nights. So, I don't know. I think Juventus have as much chance as going through to that next round as any of the teams just mentioned in those big games, if not more. Because we saw Bayern Munich were a little vulnerable in the group stage. And they were also alarmingly impressive when they turned it on. But they didn't turn it on every game. They struggled in a couple of games. And one of them they ended up winning and one of them they didn't.
Do you think that with Allegri's European pedigree, especially reaching the final last season and beating Real Madrid with Ancelotti as coach... I mean, yeah, you've got to give them a chance. This is, as you said, the hardest one to call. I would probably side with Bayern Munich.
I don't think you can side against Bayern Munich, but I'd say you could perhaps not necessarily think it's a foregone conclusion.
It all comes down to Juventus's defence. It comes down to Gianluigi Buffon. It comes down to Chiellini. It comes down to Evra. It comes down to these players being able to stop Lewandowski and. You know, Bayern's passing game. Douglas Costa as well, worth a mention. Okay, let's move on. PSV Eindhoven versus Atletico Madrid. Not the most interesting draw, to say the least. You said earlier that you think that Atletico would just stomp all over them.
I think of all the teams, of all the games, possibly with the exception of Ghent, I think Atletico will look at this and say, this is the easiest draw of the ones that have been drawn. Not the easiest draw they could have had. I don't think... Again, if you look at the teams that were the group runners-up, I really think that PSV and Ghent were the weakest of the two. I know a lot of people think that Dinamo Kiev and Benfica are weak, but I still think PSV Eindhoven have been pretty poor. And that group against Manchester United, those two games really just showed that they were actually mediocre. And Manchester United were even more mediocre. I don't think in either of them PSV put in a particularly good performance. So I don't think Atletico have anything to worry about. And that's every team, all 16 and all 32 in the Europa League cannot just say, we are going to win. We can go out there being complacent, thinking we're going to win. All these teams will have to put in a performance. Some... a little bit more than others. And Atletico, I don't think they can be complacent. PSV can beat them on a good day, but I don't think PSV calls Atletico any worries whatsoever.
Benfica versus Zenit St. Petersburg is the penultimate game that we'll be discussing from the Champions League. Zenit St. Petersburg have been in fine form in Europe this season. I think they were the only team to win every game in the group.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, so under AVB till the end of the season, but... will the big Christmas break / winter break that they have over in Russia stop them? I don't have any statistics at all to back that up, but because I don't think they really qualify out of the group stage.
That's your point.
So I just wonder whether the players will be lackadaisical and not be at the same quality that Benfica will be.
I don't think that even if they didn't have a winter break, you just can't play football in those conditions. The winter break isn't because the players are a bit tired, which is essentially the reason behind most of the European winter breaks. If Spain wanted to, they could do what England does in the and have a festive run of games. And the same with most European countries with a winter break. And the reason they don't is because they don't want to. Rather than in Russia, where they physically can't. If you attempted to schedule fixtures, you would have mass postponements countrywide. You can barely even travel sometimes in the winter there. So I don't think it will matter, because I think Benfica, both of these are the this is the furthest a team will have to travel in this round. It's Western Europe to Eastern Europe, the most westernly team to the most easternly team. And I think that will counteract any, not lackadaisicalness, I don't know what the, you know, lackluster style of play.
Out of form. Out of,
yeah, just out of
not
match fitness.
Fit. Not, yeah, not match fit. The football,
and I think
like,
the jet lag will take that into account. And again, can Benfica do better at the home game than going to, you know, the heart of, well, not even the heart of Eastern Europe, Finland, basically.
Both difficult places to go, though.
I don't think Zenit will fear going to Benfica as much as Benfica will St. Petersburg. I don't think anyone likes to travel to Russia at all.
Yeah, I think Eastern European teams have that sort of special, like almost a tint to their stadiums, don't they? And the fans.
It's called the weather.
but, yes.
But in all seriousness, again, a little bit of a hard game to call, but I'd put my money on Zenit.
Okay. And then finally, Dynamo Kiev versus Manchester City. The easiest draw that Manchester City have ever had in the Champions League.
That's not saying much. That really isn't saying much.
I think that they're England's best chance of getting to the quarterfinals.
I think they are, but they've really picked up the booby prize of the group runners-up.
Yeah.
You can look at Ghent and... Well, really, it is just Ghent, PSV and Benfica that they wanted out of that pot. I don't think they wanted Dinamo Kiev. They'd have preferred them over Juventus.
Oh, I think they would have preferred... Juventus. Dinamo Kiev off of Benfica.
No one wants that travel. No one wants that long trip in the middle of the season, in a midweek, as well as it also being a ridiculous place to go. Kiev, Donetsk, not so much Russia. Kiev and Donetsk have a reputation similar to the Turkish teams, and with good reason. One of the Arsenal fans I listen to on a podcast tells a story of when Arsenal went to play in Ukraine in 1999, and they said it was the scariest experience they've ever been to, because the fans appeared to have taken certain substances, the players had definitely taken certain substances, and Andrei Shevchenko scored a goal from the halfway line, back in the days that Andrei Shevchenko could score. And I think you do fear going to Ukraine and Turkey in particular, because more so than Lazio, Lazio, you fear the fans being violent. It's probably the kindest way I could put it. Kiev, you just fear for everything. It's an absolutely horrific game to play out there. And it is only one game.
Fans aren't allowed in the stadium for that game.
Well, that's the other thing. They will get in the stadium, of
yeah,
course.
Exactly the same way that they got into that CSKAV.
Yeah. Was it Man U? Or Man
it was
City?
Actually City. It was last season when I think they lost. They lost 1-0 or something. CSK.
Do I remember some Man United fans watched that from a nearby hotel?
I don't recall that story. Okay, so let's just quickly go through them all and give, you know, one team answer. So Ghent versus Wolfsburg. I'm going Wolfsburg. What about
Wolfsburg,
you?
Wolfsburg, yeah.
Roma versus Real Madrid. I think we might say the same. I'm going to say Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm going to say Real Madrid, although, as I said, I don't think it's more because you can't... I wouldn't put my money against Real Madrid than I would put my money for Roma.
Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea.
PSG.
Yep, same as me. Arsenal versus Barcelona. I'm going to have to say Barcelona, David.
Why are you going to have to?
Because I'm pretty sure.
So am I. I would also agree with Barcelona, but again, more because you can't bet against them.
Juventus-Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich.
I would say Bayern Munich as well. PSV versus Atletico Madrid. I think we can both say Atletico, can't
Atletico,
we?
Yep.
Benfica versus St. Petersburg. I would go with Benfica.
I think I'm going to have to disagree with you. I'm going to go for Zenit.
Okay. This is the first time we've actually disagreed on something.
But that's just it with the Champions League nowadays.
Otherwise, this would be terrible content.
It is just that with the Champions League nowadays. You mentioned it before. Chelsea PSG have played each other for the last three seasons running. Arsenal have drawn Barcelona or Bayern Munich in five of the last seven seasons, and Olympiacos in three of the last four, or something stupid like that. You know, they need to shake up the rules to make it. To make these rounds less repetitive.
We can have a different podcast for talking about that sort of thing. That's actually called Post-Match Pint, which I've never actually done. But tune in if I ever do one, listeners out there. And then finally, Dinamo Kiev versus Manchester City. I'm going to say I think City will do that.
Yeah, Man City.
Okay, right. Well, as I said at the start of the podcast, we don't have any... Europa League music, so I'm just going to pick something randomly off the cart wall and play it and pretend that that is it. That was the opening to the La Liga part of the show, which I suppose actually it makes sense, David, to do it like that, because Sevilla have won this how many times and how many Spanish teams are in there? It's ridiculous. So may as well call it the Spanish Europa League.
Sevilla are the reigning holders, which for the first time allowed them to take part in the Champions League, which meant they went straight back into the...
Are they? Oh, I thought they came last.
No, they've got mould.
Oh right,
that's not a condition on that's not the condition of their coach. They're playing against a team called Mold.
Right, so 32 teams, so that's 16 games. Obviously, me and David, you know, we know a little bit about European football. I don't think we can give you opinions on such cracking ties such as Braga versus Sion or. Let's have another
look. Sion are the Swiss Cup winners.
Saint Etienne versus Basel. I don't think I could give anything on.
The final's in Basel this year, so I'd fancy them.
And then Sparta Prague versus Krasnodar. Although they're from Russia, aren't they, Krasnodar?
Yes, FK. Krasnodar.
Krasnodar. Yeah, as you can see, I butcher names, teams, everything.
It's all right. I think we're both going to butcher Man U's opponents, to be fair.
Quite.
So let's...
Let's go, just briefly skip through these and see if there's anything you want to bring up. So Valencia versus Rapid Vienna.
Gary Neville.
Yes, exactly.
Gets a nice
Gary
trip
Neville.
To Vienna.
What do you think about that?
About the appointment or the fixture?
Both. Do you think that he is experienced enough?
An absolutely inexplicable appointment that will either be a stroke of genius if it works or the stroke of a madman if it doesn't.
Mm.
Vincent Tan levels of kind of Bond villain style. Oh, let's pick a random name out the hat. Oh, Gary Neville.
The owner knew him. They've worked together.
Yeah, they don't.
At Salford.
At Salford. Salford's a long way down from Valencia.
Yeah, I admit
not
that,
just
but
geographically.
I'm just saying, it's not like he picked names out of a hat. Picking names out of the hat would literally be like if I was Valencia manager.
I don't know. They could have picked someone with great character and great intensity. They could have gone for someone like Brendan Rodgers, and they could have waited a few months and got Jose Mourinho.
What's Spanish for disaster? Anyway,
I think it's disastrous.
Right. Do you think Valencia could win that? I think they could win that.
I don't think there's any doubt.
No. Okay. More interesting tie, as you can see, we aren't any sure on Rapid Vienna. So, is it Rapid? Do you say Rapid Vienna?
I think it's Rapid Wien. Is how they say it.
Goodness me. Right. Fiorentina versus Tottenham Hotspur. Pretty much the same tie as last year, in which Fiorentina won.
Not so much pretty much as exactly the same tie at exactly the same stage in exactly the same circumstances.
It's actually because Fiorentina were playing their home game first. When last time they played that was why I was saying pretty much, David.
Oh, I thought they played first at home. I thought they played the same way around last year.
No, because one of my mates travelled to Florence for the second part. Poor guy. This is a really interesting one because Fiorentina were buoyed by the signing of Salah from Chelsea in January last year, which really gave them a lift, got their squad pumping, got them through the Europa League, took them, I believe, to the quarterfinals. No, semi-finals.
Yeah, they went
me.
Quite far last
took
year.
Them to the semi-finals. But the manager's left. They're not doing as well this time. Still pretty good, but not as well. I'm just going to... it's going to be an interesting one. And Tottenham obviously are high flyers at the moment, but as we always say, This is, you know, 2 months. I said that they weren't doing very well. They're in second place.
Yeah, they're only a couple of points behind Inter, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 4 points behind Inter, who will probably be in the top three. I don't think Fiorentina will. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Tottenham Hotspur? Could they do it?
I'll be very interested to see which Tottenham turns up in this fixture, because Tottenham have a history of not taking this part of the Europa League seriously. You know, from sending Adebayor to take your first penalty in a semi-final against Basel, which I've no idea why you would trust Emmanuel Adebayor with a penalty. I think he's scored about two in his career. He's been offside for the rest of them. You know, to last year when they didn't really worry too much about going out to Fiorentina, if they want to focus on the Europa League this year, I think it would be better for England, given that this whole kerfuffle, I think is the best word, with the coefficient, that you are probably far more aware of than I. But I believe the fact that it's a straight shootout between England and Italy, essentially, for whether they get three or four Champions League places, makes an England v Italy tie all the more poignant. I can see Tottenham doing it, but I can also see them not caring and playing such wonderful players as Ryan Mason.
Yeah. We'll talk more about coefficient if we have time at the end. But yeah, granted, the Juventus games weren't the best. When they played Manchester City, they weren't the best results in the world. And we'll move more. I don't want to talk too much about it now.
They've both gone through, which is important.
Yes. But it's better for a team to come to drop into the Europa League and do well than crash out in the last 16. But we'll talk about that a little bit more after we've looked at some more. Probably the best tie, Dortmund against Porto.
A tie that would not have disgraced the Champions League at this point.
Actually more exciting than some of the Champions League draws, I believe.
Not hard. I don't quite understand how Dortmund are in this competition rather than the Champions League, but it was just because they had a terrible start to last season, really. Porto, did they get
seeded third place dropouts in the Champions League?
I was going to say, I think they got knocked out of the Champions League, didn't they?
Yeah, because Borussia Dortmund came second in their group. They threw it away to Krasnodar. Is
that
how you say it?
Krasnodar. Did they lose out to Krasnodar?
Obviously, they're under Thomas Tuchel now, who's sort of
good and tight.
Yes, who's sort of wrung the changes out of them, and they're doing relatively well. Aubameyang is absolutely on fire this season. Worth noting, Royce isn't injured every game. You know, things are looking up. But this one, I can't really call. I don't know. I don't watch enough of them to be able to call anything.
I don't think that Dortmund will fear Porto. I mean, obviously they'd have preferred to have one of, you know, the really small teams like Manchester United, but I don't know how this one's going to go either. I think it's quite a tough one to call. I'd stick my money on Dortmund if I had to.
As would I, yeah. But I'm really not so
only
sure.
On past reputation, though, because again, as you said, I haven't seen enough of either team this season.
Yeah. We'll dance over Fenerbahce versus Lokomotiv Moscow, apart from wishing all of the Lokomotiv Moscow fans, all of the Lokomotiv Moscow.
We'll get there in the end.
We want to wish all the Lokomotiv Moscow
fans. It's just
fans,
the same word in English, locomotive.
But it sounds like, that sounds wrong to me. Like a car.
Well, that's the word it comes from.
Okay, locomotive. Really? What, cars in Moscow? Like the Moscow
mechanics? It stands for something like Lokomotiv Sky Zavoda, you know, that factory.
Oh, yeah, I know that well.
I don't know what that means. Like factory, in the same way that, you know, some companies are just acronyms and stuff like that, locomotive is just a shorthand of...
I see.
Okay. Like Sunderland, because it's Sunderland Athletic, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
It's SAFC.
Well, AFC Wimbledon, for example.
Yeah, no one reads out the AFC bit.
That's true. Okay, well, anyway, we want to wish all of the Lokomotiv Moscow fans...
Got there in the end.
...best of luck with their trip to Fenerbahce, and all the Fenerbahce fans with their trip up to freezing Russia.
I don't know. I think the Moscow fans might need some body armour.
Yeah, well, Anderlecht versus Olympiakos.
That's a fixture that's happened in the Champions League in recent years. I think that was two years ago, they played in the Champions League.
We'll dance over that because we can't... I can't really judge either of them.
Olympiakos to win that one. Anderlecht have been pretty poor this year.
Okay, fair enough. And then here we go. Midtjylland, the Danish team set up in 1999 versus Manchester United.
Set up in 1999, a month before Manchester United won the treble.
I know, that is fascinating, isn't it?
And now they're playing against I mean, their midfielder, one of their midfielders, a Finnish midfielder tweeted saying, "At this team I've supported since I was a boy, and I now get the chance to play against them." And good luck to Midtjylland. I don't think they played Chelsea in the group stages a couple of years ago and gave a good performance of themselves, as you'd expect. You know, absolute minnows. Everyone loves a good underdog story, though, and that's why I think this plucky team from the north of England might stand a chance.
Well, I think it'll be very close if current form sort of presides.
Well, if current form presides, then it'll be 2-0.
Yeah, and then penalties.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Tim Krul will come on. it will be an interesting game. I think that Manchester United will squeeze through. I think you couldn't bet against them, could you? No, because you'd imagine that, you know, Manchester United aren't underdogs in this, but the underdogs in this fixture are too much of underdogs to really pull it off, don't you think?
I think, because by that logic, then most FA Cup giant killings you could never bet on.
Well, no, but I'm just you know, I'm speculating.
If it were one of these teams that we'd not really seen a lot of before, and actually looking at the teams that were unseeded, none of them, with the exception of Sion, who were in Liverpool's group, I can't actually see a name that is completely unheard of. And the more unheard of teams are the ones that have been, the ones that have been seeded, such as Krasnodar and Mold. So, whilst Midtjylland, you know, it's a dream tie for them. Manchester United again have lucked out a bit. They could have got harder teams. Midtjylland have made a name for themselves. They gave a decent performance against Chelsea, although, as happens with Chelsea in the Champions League, they ended up losing about 4-0. I know you'd expect United to go through, but I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put it past Midtjylland to surprise a couple of people. Maybe win the home leg and get taken apart in the away leg.
The German team Augsburg plays Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp making his first return to Germany after being appointed the Liverpool manager. What's your thought on that game, David?
Wouldn't he have preferred Borussia Dortmund? And wouldn't that have been an emotional tie. The tie of the round, for obvious reasons.
Augsburg are currently in 13th in the Bundesliga. That's an 18-team league, so they're only 2 points off the relegation zone.
Yeah, but so are Chelsea, and they're playing PSG.
Okay, fair point. But you know, you expect Klopp after that long in the job to be able to win against them.
Oh, I'd expect Liverpool, regardless of who was managing them, to win that fixture.
They must have done something right, Augsburg. They got out the group stages.
Yeah, they got out the group stages. But again, we were saying, so have Mold and a team that you can't pronounce. One or more teams that you can't pronounce.
I think that there's at least 7 or 8. Come on. we'll find out as we go down the list.
I'm not entirely sure Midtjylland is the correct pronunciation either. But
I think we're just going to stick with it for now.
It's the best we can get.
Sparta Prague versus Krasnodar. Do you know any... Or how do you say it? Krasnodar?
Krasnodar.
Krasnodar. Okay, I got it right. Sparta Prague versus Krasnodar. Anything to say on them? Know anything about either of them? I know nothing, I'm afraid.
Did I look up Krasnodar before? Who did I look up that had Arshavin and Pogrebniak?
I think that was them. That could quite possibly be them.
I mean, if you're talking
London party.
Yeah, it's like
being held in Prague. That's not too bad.
Yeah, well, most North Londoners go to Prague at some point.
That's true. Let's move on to perhaps the dirtiest fixture.
The most dangerous tie possible.
Galatasaray versus Lazio. I can say a bit about Lazio is that they've been struggling horrifically in Serie A this season. I'm not being biased at all, by the way. This is genuinely what's happened. They've been awful in the fact that they even lost 2-0 to Roma, who have been awful. I'd just like to add, they're 13th in the table, coincidentally same as Augsburg, but of course 20-man league this one. They're only 5 points off the relegation zone. It's not been great for them, and there's been talks of sackings and everything else. It's Ravel Morrison, after, you know, being welcomed as the prodigal son, hasn't managed to do anything.
Which must make you happy as a West Ham and Roma fan.
It's... talking about Ravel Morrison's quite painful. Like an ex-girlfriend you haven't got over yet, I think. It's the best way to sum it up. I believe Galatasaray will win that one.
I'd put my money on Galatasaray, although that's the game I'd leave off the accumulator, if I'm perfectly honest.
I think that's a fair point.
If you're talking about a fixture that I would not like to cover as a journalist, nor attend as a fan. I think there are some diehard fans that go to every home and away game that might have seen that draw and gone, you know what, I'll miss that one.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a member of the police, the journalist, the press team. Both of these teams have a reputation for having a hot, intense atmosphere, and their fans for being a little bit knowledgeable on how to use a knife.
Yeah.
So,
it's not. It's the not only. The only the reason I'd have say to hope that there's nothing that nothing does go wrong with that fixture.
It's Galatasaray and Lazio. Something always goes wrong with those two.
Let's move on now. Is it Sion? Sion versus Braga?
I think
Braga?
It's Sion, but I've no idea.
Versus Braga, no idea. Move on. Shakhtar Donetsk versus Schalke. That's actually quite an interesting one.
You managed to mispronounce both of those teams. That was impressive.
Shakhtar. Oh, sorry. Shakhtar Donetsk.
There's an extra syllable coming in there.
Schalke. Is it?
Schalke 04.
Okay, let me just... Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Do you want to edit that one back in?
I'm not going to edit it at all. I'm going to stand by my mistakes.
No, fair play.
But, that's quite an interesting fixture, isn't it?
Well, the only thing I can see of interest there is that they're both moderately big teams, and also that Donetsk aren't playing in their city, in Donetsk, due to the current political situation.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the Guardian Football podcast, and a couple of weeks ago, a guy came on who'd done a film about this, how they... pretty much live in a hotel, aren't allowed to go outside.
I think they play in Lviv.
Yeah, have to fly there. It must be a horrible place to be as a footballer.
Well, it's why Shakhtar are losing players and fast. However, it's exactly the same with a lot of these other Eastern European teams. You don't want to go there. And okay, this one has the slight difference of it's an actual war zone as opposed to Galatasaray Lazio, which will be a bit of a war zone. I don't think Schalke are that impressive. If this were reversed and Shakhtar were the seeded team, you wouldn't bat an eyelid. So, I don't know. I can't really analyse the football too much. I haven't caught up with the Ukrainian league in a long time. And
is Alex Teixeira,
I think, still there? Yeah,
great player. Anyway, right, let's move on because we don't have anything to say on this. This one, next one, I can do. Marseille versus Athletic Bilbao. I have a huge place in my heart for Athletic Bilbao. We've covered them on Tee and Busquets before. Obviously, the team that only trains and signs players from the Basque region of Spain.
I just can't help. Every time I see Athletic Bilbao, I think, can you just not rename your team to Athletic Bilbao Baggins for the...
I could see. I mean, I don't know if they're all Lord of the Rings fans over there, though.
I don't know if they've even translated
just for those who don't know, Athletic Bilbao play in the north of Spain, and they only sign players of Basque nationality. That's like, you know, Catalonian or like the equivalent of signing only the only thing I can say is it's kind of like the equivalent of Leeds only signing people from Yorkshire. That's the sort of thing we're looking at.
Yeah, it's that regional. But there have been times in the past when teams in this country have attempted to sign. You know, Scottish teams used to have a big thing about only signing Scottish players. And then it kind of relented when they realised that wasn't necessarily producing the best talent.
But
there still is enough talent from Bilbao.
Yeah, they have amazing training facilities. People have come out of there recently. Icon Munial's worth looking at. Laporta, who's very highly rated. Azpilicueta.
Azpilicueta came from Bilbao.
Yeah, he did. He's Basque. I'm not sure
if he actually has a pronounceable name. I can't believe it.
Azpilicueta. Yeah, I can pronounce Azpilicueta. No other teams.
I just meant that quite a lot of those Basque players, not the Catalonians, but the Basque players.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. Like,
have a lot of X's in there, and it's very hard to pronounce.
Llorente as well is Basque. It's very good, and 90% of fans in a poll back in 2010 said they prefer to be relegated. Just to reiterate, they are the only team aside from Barcelona and Real Madrid never to be relegated from La Liga.
Great fact.
They said 90% of their fans said they would prefer to be relegated than break the rules on signing Basque players.
If it works, why not keep it?
They're in the final of the Copa del Rey last year, where Messi scored that ridiculous goal that's up for a Puskás Award. Play Marseille, who are in a bit of turmoil. Of course, their manager Bielsa resigned after one game. They've been sort of dotting around. They're far off the lead with PSG, though. PSG,
yeah, everyone's far
off
the lead.
Yeah, exactly. I'd really like to see Bilbao go through in this round. Like I said, I have a soft spot for them. I think they could do it. And their stadium as well, the San Memes. Yeah, I think that is the correct name. That is a really dodgy place to go.
Is that the one with a rock with a cliff on one side?
No, I don't think so.
Or that might be a Portuguese
ground. No, it's sort of a brand new stadium. It looks lovely. I really want to visit it, but I'm discrediting. I think that Bilbao could get
you are in European tour. Hangovers European tour.
We just need to sort out the budget for that. But Sevilla versus Mold as well, which sort of sounds like a really bad episode of Malcolm in the Middle. I think Sevilla will go through. Emery is a good manager. They know this competition like the back of their hand.
I don't even know who Mold are.
No, I don't know where they're from. Where does Mold
come
from? Where does Mold come from?
Well, I believe this team comes from Sweden.
Right. Okay.
But in I mean, Sevilla were the unseeded team here, which I find absolutely inexplicable.
Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? I feel very, very sorry.
It's again because of the rule that they came in via the Champions League and they did it top four groups. It really should just be, like, it should be the best teams are seeded regardless of how well they did in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Whether that would have meant Sevilla did get that, because Olympiacos were in there, Man United were in there, Porto, they're all Champions League heavy clubs, and Sevilla may have won the Europa League, but I don't know how well that...
The coefficient still translates.
Is it? I couldn't tell you what their relevant coefficients are, because I don't think anyone in the world knows what they are.
Sporting Lisbon versus Bayer Leverkusen, who were very unlucky to not qualify. Instead of Roma, who completely had a nightmare with their group, lost and drew against Bartek Borisov, but Leverkusen's other results got lucky. What do you think about that?
I think that's again another one of those fixtures where there's two fairly big teams, and the smaller teams in this tournament will be thankful that games like this are occurring. And they will occur, because not all the teams... I know we like to take the mickey out of this competition, but we are now at the knockout stages. They have knocked out some of the more ridiculous teams. Carrier Bag,
West Ham and Southampton.
They have now knocked out the teams that no one could quite understand how to pronounce, spell, or even point to on a map.
That's actually the reason why we didn't do a group stage T and Busquets podcast, because the names were just so difficult for me.
Can you imagine that?
Only joking, of course. But Sporting Lisbon, Lisbon by Leverkusen.
How's that the harder one to pronounce?
I know. Leverkusen just rolls off the tongue, but Lisbon is a bit drawry. Anyway, yeah, I think Bayer Leverkusen will win that. And then Villarreal versus Napoli. Napoli, again, another team that's done very well after Benitez has left. They sit
that's most
third,
of them, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so, except Liverpool. They sit third in the table at the moment, only just behind Inter, and on the same points as Fiorentina. Higuain still somehow lives in Napoli and still is scoring obscene amount of goals. They went far in the competition last year, same with Fiorentina, and I expect them to get far again. Villarreal, however, is a tough opposition. They're fifth, I believe, in La Liga, which makes for a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, as you said, it's an interesting matchup. As with the previous game, it's between two teams who'd rather have, or two teams that the others are thankful will play against each other. I mean, I think if I'm reading this right, that the winner of those last two games will play each other. So again, another big... If that's correct, I don't know how it works, because I know this competition has one more round than the Champions League, and it's this round and the next round. And if you have to... I couldn't actually pick out of those two. I just think Villarreal have this habit of being moderate in the European competitions. That time they reached the semi-finals and Riquelme missed a penalty in the 88th minute.
Am I right in thinking as well Villarreal was the team that got relegated while playing the Champions League, when they had Giuseppe Rossi and a Brazilian who I believe is called like Nilmar,
yeah.
Yeah, they had them. They were great on FIFA a couple of years ago.
I couldn't guarantee whether they got relegated.
I do remember them getting relegated because I couldn't find Giuseppe Rossi on the game for like another season and a bit. I didn't Google him for some reason. Move on to the last game, Saint Etienne versus Basel. David, you know a little bit about Basel.
Well, I know more the fact that the final's happening in Basel. I know that Basel do have a bit of European pedigree. They reached the final a few years ago, beat Tottenham in the semi-final. Can't quite remember
why.
Why
is a team that English teams are afraid to face?
Because they're not as bad as we'd give them credit for. Did they not have one of these Albanian/Swiss players? Did they have Shaqiri?
Ooh,
I think Shaqiri did play for Basel, or one of these players with
Do you mean
X's and
Xhaka?
Q's.
Granit Xhaka.
They may have had Granit Xhaka.
His brother plays for Turkey, doesn't he?
Or
Austria?
I think they're going to meet each other
in the game. Like the Boateng brothers a couple of years ago in the World Cup. I always loved that. Anyway, I can't say anything about
either of those teams. Saint-Étienne, another one of these teams that make up the numbers. They're moderately good, but quite how there aren't enough other teams in the French league to pad up the numbers is what surprises me.
Right, we're running out of time, so let's just quickly go through rapid fire with the Europa League.
Oh my word.
Valencia, Rapid Vienna. I'm going Valencia.
You're talking about Rapid. Valencia.
Fiorentina, Spurs.
There's no correct answer. I'm going for Fiorentina.
I'm going for Fiorentina as well. Borussia Dortmund versus Porto.
Dortmund.
I'll go Dortmund as well. Fenerbahce versus Lokomotiv Moscow. I'm going to go for Fenerbahce.
I have absolutely no idea, so I'll stick with Fenerbahce.
Anderlecht versus Olympiakos.
I'll go with the away team.
Yeah, me too. Midtjylland versus Manchester United.
I just want to say Midtjylland.
I think Man United will. Augsburg versus Liverpool. I think Liverpool. Sparta Prague versus Krasnodar.
No idea.
No, me neither. Galatasaray versus Lazio. I think Galatasaray will get through.
It's whoever gets fined the least points for being the least dangerous,
that's
to be honest.
That's possible as well. How do you say this one, David?
Sion
versus
Again,
Braga.
Just call them that team that kind of looks like a bad person, looks like a bad name.
Okay, all right. I don't know anything about that. Shakhtar Donetsk versus Schalke.
Shakhtar.
Yeah, Shakhtar as well.
I didn't mean that.
No,
I was saying
I
think Shakhtar are going to win.
Yes, and then we have Marseille versus Bilbao.
Bilbao.
Sevilla versus Mold.
Sevilla.
Sporting Lisbon by Leverkusen.
That's tougher. I'm going to go for Lisbon.
I'm going for Leverkusen. Ooh. Villarreal versus Napoli. I'm going Napoli.
Napoli.
And then Saint-Étienne Basel. I think I'll go Basel.
Basel.
We ran through that quickly. Now we have two questions left for you, David. One, who will win the Champions League, and two, who will win the Europa League right now.
Oh my word, Champions League.
It's a whole podcast worth. I would go Barcelona as well. Who win the Europa League?
A team that no one cares about. It's probably going to be Man United.
I'm going to go with Sevilla.
That's
all.
Safe bet.
Yes,
safe bet.
That's all for us on Tea and Busquets. You've had a great two podcasts there. Join us in the new year where we will be discussing European coefficients.
Actual European football.
Yes, and actual European football once it gets back from winter break, which is exactly what we're going on now. Thanks for joining me, David. This has been Tea and Busquets. You're listening to URN.
This is URN Sport.